Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we love you with all our heart, Lord, and we are looking so much, Lord, for the great time of the parousia to move into the place, Lord, where we the shout becomes the voice, and then, Father, we receive our body change, knowing that that's the consummation of our adoption, the consummation of our eternal life, is to have a body that's eternal, oh, Lord. And so we're looking forward to that, Father, and we just ask that you be with us today in our service as we study your word this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we're going to be looking at Satan's Eden, number 74. Subtitled Twins, number 4, Identifiable Characteristics, part 3. And we're going to be looking at Born of Incorruptible Seed. This morning we're going to look at just one identifiable characteristic of both the true vine and the false vine. These characteristics will be as far from one to the other as light is from darkness, as truth is from falsehood. One is life, one is death. One is eternal, one is temporary. Now this morning we're going to look at first the true vine and show that they are ordained to eternal life and will know that they have received eternal life, and we will show you how it is that they will know. The false vine will not and cannot receive eternal life because they were not ordained to receive it. That's just like this message. If they're ordained to receive it, they will. If they're not, they won't. Now, therefore, the true vine will be born of an incorruptible seed, which is by the word of God. But the false vine will have only a natural birth, but nothing in them to live forever. They have their own word. Notice we read in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So the word is living, and it abides. Now, we know there's only one form of eternal life, and that is God's very own life. And we know that if you ever are to receive eternal life, you were in God's thoughts to receive it before the foundations of the world. And we know that God life is Logos life. Because God is Logos. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word is God. And the Word is Logos. For when God birthed his firstborn son, it was a part of God that came out of God that made him a part of God. Genesis, from question and answer on Genesis, Brother Brown says now. Notice then, after a while, I begin to see a little sacred light begin to form, like a little halo or something. You could only see it by spiritual eyes to look down. While we're looking, the whole church now, we're standing on a great big banister watching what God is doing, and we'll get right down to this question here, and you'll see how he brings it in. Now, no one has seen God. Now remember, God is spirit. You can't see him. And now the next thing we begin to see by eyes of supernatural, in other words, it's not eyes of physical. It's eyes of supernatural looking. We see a little white light forming out there. And what is that? That was called by Bible readers. Make sure I have that on. That was called by Bible readers Logos, or the anointed, or the anointing. Or as I was going to say, the part of God began to develop into something so human beings could have some type of an idea what it was. It was a little light moving. That was the word of God. Now, God gave himself birth to this son, which was before there was even an Adam or heir to make an Adam. Jesus said, glorify me, Father, with the glory that we had before the foundations of the world. See, way back yonder. So, this takes place in Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now, this tells you how God is going to create the heavens and the earth. But as far as the creation is, it right at this point, it's only in the mind of God. He is a creator, and thus, before he could create, he had to plan out that creation. So this, then, is the story of that creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. And now, we go into the story. All right? And the earth was without form. So at this time, it was without form. So if it was without form, then it was not yet material. But yet, because even a cloud has a form. You know, you can sit there with your children and look up at the clouds. You can see sometimes you see a bear, sometimes you see a horse, sometimes you see an eagle, whatever. Clouds have forms. Okay, even vapor has forms. But it was without form. There was no material yet. But yet it was still in the mind of God. And it says, and it was void. And being then in this state, it was without form, and it was just a big void, a nothingness. That's what void means, a nothingness. In other words, like an empty abyss. There was nothing yet but darkness. And so darkness was upon the face of the deep. So see the condition of pre-creation. When there was nothing but emptiness, abyss, void, and darkness. These are the attributes that the Bible characterizes to us to get a picture in our mind that God created from nothing all things. Now remember, this is Moses telling the story, God's vindicated prophet. So it had to be somewhere, and it was in the mind of God to begin with. All we read in verse 2 is described in the nothingness that was not even there. All right, I don't know if that's good English or not. But it was a nothingness that was not even there, all right? Because it wasn't even nothingness, because even nothingness is something, but there was not even that. It was just blank. And next we read, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So now you've got what? The Spirit of God moving. Now you've got what? Upon the face of the waters, now you've got parousia. Now you've got the first time that God brings forth His parousia. And God said, this parousia of God said, let there be light. And there was light. So what did God do? He, with His parousia comes what? The Word. So the parousia of Christ in this hour is the return of the Word. The one who created is here to destroy. He's here to burn. Alright? Now, this describes the first of the creations. And it shows you how the creation of all things is ordained to come. And that is by the spoken word of God, as Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3. All right, verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His parousia? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Notice parousia. Now he's going back to all things continuing from the creation. Now, why would Peter warn us that the people would scoff at the parousia of Christ? I mean, we who are witnessing the parousia, or presence of Christ, the appearing before the coming, we understand why. We understand why they scoff. But because we are the brunt of the mocking and scoffing, because we teach that it is already begun, and 79 of the 84 signs and events foretold that would take place have already taken place. But for the past 2,000 years, it had to be a mystery to the people reading 2 Peter 3, as to why anyone in their right mind would scoff at His presence, unless His presence is in such a way that they will not know that He's here. And of course they won't, because parousia is spirit form, word form. That's why in the King James Version, when they translated that word parousia to coming, they did such a bad job, because now people are thinking of the body of Jesus Christ. The parousia has nothing to do with the body of Jesus Christ. It has all to do with the body of Christ, which is the church. But it's God Himself coming down. So Peter tells us what this presence, this parousia, will entail. He says, for this they, the scoffers, willingly are ignorant. So if they're willingly ignorant, then they have to turn something down in order to keep their ignorance. Right? You're not willingly ignorant if you just never knew. But you're willingly ignorant if you know, but you refuse it. All right? So he tells us, those people that are willingly are ignorant, it is those who are told the parousia has begun and God is here, and they scoff at it, because to be willingly ignorant, it means that this parousia will not be done in a corner, but because of a personal belief, they will willingly turn down the explanation. Even though the explanation comes with signs and wonders. William Branham said 4,400 times, He is here. His presence is here. All right? He told us about the appearing before the coming. He told us all these things, and people willingly, they saw the supernatural in a way that they hadn't seen in 2,000 years, and they scoffed at it. Oh, it's just mental telepathy. Then Peter gives us a clue as to what the parousia is. It's the presence of God, the Word. For it goes on to say that by the Word of God the heavens were of old. He's going back to creation now. And the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and earth, which are now, by the same word. So you have the beginning, creation by the word, the destruction by water, by the word, and now the same world, by the word, being saved for destruction by fire. The same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And God, His presence was there for the creation. His presence was there with Moses. His presence was there with Noah. His presence was there with His Son. His presence is here today. And He does something through His Word, brings it to manifestation, and it is God the Word. The parousia is the parousia of the Word. And God is the Word. So, as in the Ten Commandments movie, if you saw that, Moses, you know, Charlton Heston playing Moses, called him the Eternal Mind. And that's very fitting. He is the Eternal Mind. The Word. So Peter tells us that by the same parousia of God that created the world by His Word, will in like manner with His same presence, using His Word, will bring it to fire and destroy it. And in order to renovate it and make it anew, why? For His children. He's not here to destroy, just to condemn, blah, 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 and turn His face. No, He's here to get it ready. He's got to burn it off to get rid of all the evil, get rid of it, so that He can renew it again for you and us. In a glorified condition that you'll never change. Remember the 90-year-old woman, Brother Brad said, who is she? And he says, she was 90 years old when you brought salvation to her. That's why she says, my precious brother. Because in this condition now, and she was a beautiful woman, he said she'll never change. Ever. Can you imagine being the best you ever were? I hope I'm better than I was. But the best you ever were, as far as looks and stuff. You know, at least I did have my hair and my teeth. You know, and less weight and those things. So, can you imagine being in that condition for eternity? I wonder if I'll still have freckles. I don't know. I did when I was a kid. Now, John 6 and 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For Thou hast the words of eternal life. Notice eternal life is a promise of His Word to us. Words of eternal life, Peter said. All right. So, Jesus confirms this in John 12:48, where He tells us that the Word will judge all things at the end time. Now remember, Peter's talking about judgment. John is telling us about judgment. John 12:44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on Me believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me. And he that seeth Me seeth Him not, seeth Him that sent Me. Excuse me. And he that seeth Me seeth Him that sent Me. Why? Because Jesus was in His image. I am come a light into the world. Yeah, that's what He did in Genesis 1 and 3. That whosoever believeth on Me should not abide in darkness. I remember that pillar of fire that came on the scene in Genesis 1 and 3 is the same pillar of fire that entered into Jesus at the River Jordan. And if any man hear My words and believe not, I judge him not. No, see, the man Jesus, He didn't come to judge. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But he that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words. How do you reject Him? By not receiving His word. People will accept the man Jesus. Oh, they love the man Jesus, but they hate His word. He said, he that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I've spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. So what comes back in the last day to judge? The word. That's the parousia. For I have not spoken of Myself, but the Father which sent Me, He gave Me commandment that I what I should say and what I should speak. So it's not even the words of Jesus, it's God's Word He's speaking. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto Me, I speak. You receive that Word, you receive what? Life. And of course, then, if His words are eternal life, then those who receive them are ordained to eternal life. In Acts 13:48, and when the Gentiles heard this, heard what? The word. They were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. There you go. You're sitting here this morning because you were ordained before the foundation of the world to believe this word. And those who are ordained to receive the word also receive the light, because that light is the word. It is the Logos of God. It is the anointing upon the word, and those who receive it are also Logos. Did you know that? Jesus was the Logos of God. God is Logos. Jesus was Logos of God, and you and I are Logos of God. We were in His thoughts before the foundations of the world. But let me not just stop. Let me not stop yet here. Let's develop that thought that Peter is telling us, that the Word will judge, and as Jesus said, the Word will judge in the last days. Now, we know that Christ is the Word, and thus the Word is what has been knocking at the door to enter the church in Laodicea, but they would not open up to Him. They would not open up to Him who is the Word. In Revelation 3:14, Jesus is telling us here that He is talking to the church of Laodicea, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, that be to William Branham. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, from verse 17 to 19, he then tells us why they are lukewarm and must then be rejected. This is a judgment by the judge, as we will see shortly, because thou sayest. You see, these people are not saying what God says. They're saying what they say. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. So these people think one thing and show by their thinking that they are totally inept at realizing their true condition, which means they are spiritually blind as well, and yet they think they're something else. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. So God, even God the judge, comes with mercy. That thou mayest be rich in white raiment, the word. You know, we're dressed in the word, the washing water by the word. That thou mayest be clothed, and that shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that's the Holy Spirit, that thou mayest see. So these people have been given a way to overcome and repent and turn their condition around and be dressed in white raiment, which is the word, the righteousness of the saints, or right wiseness of the saint. In other words, we are to be dressed in the word, which is the white raiment, but they refuse God's provided way. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And then he tells us who it is that has given them this chance to repent. For it is the word that Jesus said would judge in the end time. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, God's voice is always His word, and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, this one knocking is the word of God at the end time. And He has already judged the condition of the people of Laodicea, and the people are found to be in a terrible condition, and therefore the Word has judged their condition, and yet He, the Word of God, the Logos of God, shows He is full of mercy here and offers them a chance to repent. And if they do repent, they will receive not only eternal life, but they will sit with Him in His throne. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I am overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now remember, the word of the Lord comes to the prophet. So first to the prophet. So when he says to the messenger of the Laodiceans, to the angel of the Laodiceans, he's given him this message. You receiving this message not only brings eternal life, but it puts you in a condition to sit with him in his throne, to judge the world. Now, James also tells us how the Word of God will judge in the last days. James 5:7, be patient, therefore, brethren, be brethren unto the parousia of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, the one responsible for the harvest, which is the resurrection, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be you also patient, establish your hearts, that means your understanding, for the parousia of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not against one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Who's the judge? The Word. The Word, Jesus says, will judge in the last days. He is the judge. He's the one that's knocking in Laodicea. They refuse the judge. They refuse the Word. All right. So James is speaking of the parousia, as did Peter and Jesus. And just as they spoke, James also tells us that his parousia is all about the judge, which the Word will judge in the last days. During the time of his parousia, will be standing at the door, and as the Word, he will also be the judge of heavens and earth in that capacity of the Word. So the parousia of Christ is a parousia of the Word himself. So it was a great parousia of the Lord that created the heavens and earth by his Word, and the same one who will judge this creation at the end time, and the same Word will also burn it to ashes. Thus it's been spoken, thus it shall be done. So in getting back to Peter, we read, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." So he's telling us, look, you're going to have patience. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the parousia of the Lord. Because one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. Now remember the promise he's talking about here is the promise of his parousia. He said, "As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation?" That means your lifestyle. "And godliness," or godlikeness. In other words, why do people got to accrue things, when it's all going to burn anyway? You can't take it with you. In other words, it's time for a mindset change. It's not, you know, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with living in a nice home, having a nice car. But when you put those things before you put the brethren, or you put the Word of God, there's something wrong. Because, you know, when people are building these $8 million buildings and things like that, saying the coming of the Lord is at hand, there's something wrong with their mind. So Peter's telling us, you know, that's all going to burn, so then conduct yourself knowing that you can't take it with you. In other words, if you know these things, then be preparing for the departure, which begins with the resurrection season, and then moves into a body change, and then a departure above the fires that will take place. So what really should we be doing? We should be establishing relationships that we're going to have for eternity. Establishing those relationships, not fussing with one another about things. You know, that's the stupidest thing. You know, forgive me for using that word, but that's just the, maybe I use the word dumbest. But it galls me to see that people get upset over things. Okay? "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God," that's Urkame, "wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." So instead of looking down the road and saying, when I get enough money, I'm going to have this kind of house, I'm going to have this kind of car, I'm going to have this kind of boat, I'm going to have this. We should have our mind set on the new earth, on those things that are eternal and will not flee away. 2 Peter 3:14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things," remember, "to them that look for him shall he appear." He only comes to them looking for him. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent." What's the word diligent? Opposite of dilatory. Diligent means that you are very... You're waiting. It's coming. You, like a child before Christmas, you just can hardly stand it. "Seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Three words. Peace. Do you have it? Without spot, holy and blameless. How can be that? Under his blood. If you walk in the light, as he's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you from all your humanity. "And account that the long suffering of the Lord is our salvation," or his salvation, "even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom, giveth unto him, hath written unto you." Now, so in other words, everything that you hold precious that is outside of the promise of this word is going to burn. So turn it loose before your hands get burned. Like a hot potato, let go, just let go of it quickly. You know, I had a big bonfire, but getting rid of a lot of built up tree limbs and everything else, and I had to actually split the big pile the other day into three. I started it because I didn't want to burn the other trees around it, so I started it, and then as it got, you know, burned down, put another big pile with my grappler, you know, put it on top and got it. Finally, but anyway, I had this mound that was probably 5-6 feet. It started out, I mean, it was about 8-10 feet, and I had to take stuff off of the grappler, you know, put so that I could start the smaller fire. Well, anyway, so it's big. My wife, she gets this idea. She says, let's have some brats, and, whatever. Okay, dear, go ahead, you know. So, you know, you got these handles, they're about this long. What you can't get within 20 feet of that thing. So she walks out there, and she comes back in, and I thought, okay, you know, just do it on the stove. And, you know, so anyway, I mean, look, you can have your nice little teeny fires and cook a brat, that's fine. But you're going to cook your arm. You know, you get within 10, 15 feet of that. So anyway, but the brats are good. All right, so in other words, everything you hold precious that is outside of the promise of this word is going to burn. Is your car precious to you? It's going to burn. Your house precious, you're going to burn. Your cabin's precious, you're going to burn. Everything's going to burn. Except for who? You and your family. You just keep them under the blood. So turn it loose before your hands get burned. Like a hot potato, let it go quickly. Now, go back to Genesis 1 and 4. And God saw the light, his son, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. Remember, he's a day star. And the dark, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, Brother Branham said from Attitude and Who's God. So, he first was God, Jehovah, and out of him. Now, let's just picture now as a little drama so that you can get it. Let's see coming out of space where there's nothing. Let's make it a little white light, like a mystic light, like a halo. You know, like a halo. And that was a logos that went out of God in the beginning. Then he says, that was the Son of God that came out of the bosom of the Father. That was what in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was God, and then out of God came the Logos, a part of God that went out of God. And remember, he just said that was a part of God, a part of God, which he said was the Son of God. So we see his firstborn son was the firstborn in the creation of God, and then he creates the universe, and then all the creatures on earth and sea, in the sea. And then God brings forth man in his own image, as we see in Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And a few weeks ago, I showed you that not only one who was in the image, that there was only one who was in the image of the Father, and that was Jesus Christ, the firstborn Son of God. And Paul said he was the exact image of God. So when God says, let us, he's speaking to his Son. In fact, Brother Branham says he got all those things together, and he made all the things, all the animal life, the birds, the bees, the monkeys, whatever it was, and put them out here on earth. And then he asked this question, let us, who? Father and Son, make man in our image. So much for the oneness thinking. All right. Now, if a man was made something like that little sacred light, remember, what was the sacred light? Genesis 1 and 3. So if man, in Genesis 1:26, was made something like that little sacred light yonder, or something like that, it could not be seen, which is a spiritual being. He manifested or unfolded himself a little more to make a trinity of himself, a Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And here he was, God, unfolded himself now down into let us make man, which was his Son and offspring from him. Man in our image. He was a spiritual being, and let him have dominion over the cattle of the field and so forth. Now he's not talking anymore about the Son of God. He's talking about sons. You and I. We are made in the image of Christ. And we are to be, as Paul says, even in this body, we are to manifest the sons of God, but we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Now, the man led the cattle and everything, just like the Holy Spirit leads a real true believer. The voice of God out there, or the voice of man rather, would speak and say, call the cattle this way, call the sheep over to this pasture, call the fishes to this water. See, he had dominion. Everything obeyed him. What did Jesus do? He called the fish from this side of Peter's boat to this side of Peter's boat. I mean, he said, Peter, cast your net over here. This is where the fish are at. They came. He filled it so much it almost sunk us. See, you're going to have that same thing in the millennium. Now, I don't know if we'll be eating fish or not. But if you're fishermen, you're going to have a real benefit because you'll be able to call the fish to your lure. That'd be nice. And Brother Barron said that the dominion would take us right through the millennium. That's what he said. For questions and answers, COD. Now, in the 26th verse of the first chapter of Genesis, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them, see, plural, have dominion over the fishes of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle and every, see, and tying together, over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, both man and woman. And God blessed them after his creation and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Conjunction after conjunction of what? Man's to be multiplying. And after multiplying, then subdue the earth. That's plumb into the millennium. See, all right, subdue the earth, all right. And have dominion over the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the air and over everything that moves upon the earth. Oh, brother, we're going to have a wonderful time in the millennium. So, what I want to show you this morning is that when God created us, he created us a spirit being first. Then he clothed that spirit being. But because of the fall, that clothing had a kink in it that needs to be changed. Because God told them to multiply and replenish the earth just like they were brought forth. And they didn't do it that way. They didn't do it by the spoken word. They used the sex act to produce it. And by using the sex act to produce it, it brought in death. It brought in every child that's born in the world is born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth to the world speaking life. So because of the fall, that clothing had a kink in it, and that kink is going to be changed. And so that which is of dust shall return to dust, but that which is by, why the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 15 that we shall be changed. So when a man dies, he sheds this earthly flesh and receives a celestial body, his theophany. But then he will have to come back for the resurrection, and that earthly body will die that he died in will have to receive a glorification to it. A word body, and then it shall live, it shall never change after that, it shall live forever. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, 53 to 54, for this corruptible, that's this flesh, must put on incorruption, that's the word body, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible, mortal means this body that's able to die, must put on immortality, a body that's not able to die. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You see, it is the ultimate and final promise of his parousia is our change. Men scoff at it, but we wait patiently for it. They say, where is the promise of his parousia? And we say, I can't wait to get it. We're in the parousia now. That means very, very soon I'm going to get my body changed. So what I'm trying to say this morning is that the true vine are ordained to eternal life because we were in him before the foundations of the world and we have been ordained to receive the word body. That means glorified body. But we had to come via this flesh to be tried and refined by the Word. And to receive that incorruptible body is what we live for. The false vine are not ordained to this life, eternal life, nor this glorified body. You see, they won't have a glorified body because they had a glorified body. They couldn't die. And they're going to have an end. So they just pass here on earth as temporary beings to be judged by what they did in their bodies. But those who are born again have already died to self and will not go into the judgment, for we have already passed into eternal life. So we are just waiting for that resurrection time and the tent ministry that we are to receive our body changes in that little room. You see how important that is? 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. They do it to receive a senatorship, or you know, a representative, or to be a judge, or to be the president, or whatever. We don't care about those things. We are seeking an incorruptible finishing. But we are not only ordained to it, but the process has already begun, and we are becoming endoxazo, which means the dox of God is to be manifest in this flesh, that to show God's word has made us overcomers and worthy of a glorified body. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10. When he shall come to be glorified, endoxazo, the doxa en zoe, in other words, in your Zoe, in your life. When he comes to be glorified in his saints and to be marred in all them that believe, because our testimony, Paul's word, among you was believed in that day. Remember, if you don't have his word, you don't get this. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, Mrs. Jesus. All right? And you and him according to the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was Jesus. Now, that was Paul. But in Jesus' final prayer, before he went to Gethsemane, John 17:20, he said, neither pray I for these alone, he's praying to his Father, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as Father, thou art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, the doxa, the opinions, values, and judgments, which thou gavest me, I've given to them. Why? That they may be one, even as, or in the same way, we are one. I, the manifested word, in them, and thou, the word, in me, that they may be made perfect in one, complete, finish off, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also be, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, doxa, which thou hast given me. You see? For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, for the next few minutes, let me show you, because we're looking at, we are spirit beings, others are not. They're carnal. All right? If you're filled with the Spirit, you understand the things of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, it's a mystery. Now, for the next few minutes, let me just show you many scriptures showing how we are ordained to life eternal, and the other vine, the false vine, are not. In Matthew 18:14, even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God doesn't want it. It's not his word that we would perish. Right? Well, if you're not going to perish, what's that mean? Incorruptible. 1 Peter 3 and 4. And let it be the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Notice the hidden man, the invisible spirit man, is not corruptible. It cannot perish. No. Notice, in human beings that have not the Spirit of God, they brag about the man's size, his strength, you know, his hair color, his skin color, his masculinity, and everything else. The woman, you know, about her figure, about her hair, about, you know, whatever. It's all flesh. But this says that let it be the hidden man of the heart. That's your spirit, your soul, in that which is not corruptible. The other is corruptible. Just look at people that won the Miss Universe contest 30 years ago. Look at them today. Many of them are just look like hags. Or like Brother Brad said, if you look at Miss Universe of his day, compared to any child today in kindergarten, high school, whatever, I mean, any young girl, you know, it would be much, much prettier than they were then, because we're living in the days of Satan's Eve. All right? And that's what people's focus is on. Well, is my hair right? Is my smell right? You know, it's all about, it's just all about flesh. Men, honestly, are not interested, men of God, are not interested in the all that stuff. Men are interested in, does she have a peaceful spirit? Does she have a peaceful spirit? All right? Now,
So notice the hidden man, the invisible spirit man, is not corruptible. It cannot perish. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth, that means understands my word, and believeth on him that sent me, echoes everlasting life. So if you understand the word, you're going to echo it. If you don't understand the word, you're going to just cry and moan and complain and just fight all the time. And shall not come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. So you understand, he says, you're going to echo the word. You echo the word, you're going to echo the life. You echo the life, you're not going to the judgment. You've passed from death to life. John 5:26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. Now remember, you all came the same way the Son came. Birth from God by the spoken word. 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is the anointed one, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know, here we go, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his word. For this is the love of God, that we keep his word, and his word are not grievous. And whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, our revelation. Who is he then that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness, echoes the witness, the Holy Spirit, in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. What's the record God gave of his Son? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell. Alright? And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, and he that echoes the Son echoes that life, and he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not that life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Oh my. They made a whole group of Pentecostals. They made a doctrine after, how do I know? How do I know? How do I know? Ah, I'm going to speak in tongues. I'm sorry, but donkeys spoke in tongues. You know, the first time I went to a UPC church, I was in college. And first, I walked through the door. It was a Friday night. I said, I'm going to try to stay out of trouble, and so I'm going to go there instead of, you know, to the frat boys and all that kind of stuff. And so that's what I did for about 6 months. And so I went to the UPC in St. Paul, the big main campus there. And first time I walked in, though, they said, do you have the Holy Ghost? I said, no, but I'm believing in two. And they said, well, have you ever spoken tongues? I said, yeah, I've spoken tongues many, many, many times. Well, then you got it, brother. I said, I knew that Balaam. And I said, no, Balaam's donkey spoke in tongues. I said, he had the Holy Ghost. I mean, I learned, you know, I took some French. I took a little Spanish, you know. I mean, I could say some words in other tongues. So I've spoken in tongues. That don't mean diddly squat. Brother Bell told me that there's a very astounding man he knew could speak seven languages, and he went into a Pentecostal church in different, I think it was up in Toronto, and he said this man could speak and understand seven languages. He said in that church he heard five people speaking in tongues. Two of them were blessing God, three of them were cursing God, and he understood the language they were speaking in. So don't tell me about tongues. Which doctor is speaking tongues? But he says, if you echo Christ, you echo the life. All right. This is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that echoes the Son echoes life. He that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you believe on the name of the Son of God. How do I know I got eternal life? I'm echoing the life. I'm echoing. I'm echoing what he says. And it's echoing in my life. It's one thing to believe in eternal life, but it's also another thing to know that you have eternal life. And he just told us, how do we know that we have eternal life? He that echoes the Son echoes life. There you are. That is your knowing, because you have experienced His eternal life in you. Christ in you is your hope of glory, and Christ in you is the anointing in you, and that helps you to understand. Now remember, the Brother Vail and Brother Branham went 4 hours on one thought. What is the evidence of receiving, or what is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? It's receiving the word for the day in which you live. Now, does that mean you receive that God sent a prophet? No, that's not what God, it's not God sent a prophet. That's not the message. Brother Brown said, my ministry is to declare Him that He's here. You see? So if you recognize that He's here, and you receive that word which He brought, it changes your life. And you begin to echo that same word and in your life. Now, that's what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 2, that no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. That's your evidence. And the Apostle John also said in 1 John 2 and 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Even Jesus Himself said, when He, the Holy Ghost, has come, He will lead you into all truth. Now, I would like to just read several scriptures more, but to show that God has given His children life, God life. And the final promise of His parousia is a body that is commensurate with eternal life. Because this one is not. He was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth the world speaking life. But the glorified change of the body, which will come in that little room, in that tent, is the climax of Christ's parousia with us. That's what we're waiting for. It all climaxes when we get to that tent, when we get to that resurrection, get to that tent, and enter that little room. I believe that with all my heart. Now, for certainty, Brother Brown says, we believe in feet washing, we believe in communion, we believe in the second coming of Christ, the visible corporal body of the Lord, not spirit, but the corporal body of the Lord Jesus coming again in glory. We believe in the physical resurrection of the dead to receive a body, not old and wrinkled as we go into the grave, but a new one in a very bliss of youth to live forever. We believe in the immortality of the soul, absolutely. We believe there's only one form of eternal life, and that's the life that you get from Christ Jesus. That's exactly right. Therefore, we do not believe in eternal punishment. We believe in a hellfire, brimstone burning, but we don't believe in it burns forever. If it does, you got eternal life. There's only one eternal life that comes from God. That's right. So you'll be burnt maybe for 1 million years, 10 million years, I don't know. But you can't have eternal life. Or you can't burn forever. You can burn forever, but not eternally. There's a difference between eternal and forever. Forever is forever and ever, a conjunction. It means a space of time. So from a time to a time. But eternal, you do not have eternal punishment. You have eternal life because there's only one form of eternal life, and he that has eternal life lives and is blessed of God forever, but the soul that sinneth, that soul shall what? It shall die. Then it hasn't eternal life. Certainly it has its punishment, but not eternal life. So you see, there's many things yet to be taught, and we'll get onto that later. Lord bless you. All right, now, John 3:15. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have or echo eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have or echo eternal life. From why I'm against organized religion, he says, and there's no scripture that says that there is an eternal hell, because eternal never did begin. Neither does it ever end. So the Bible said, hell was created for the devil and his angels, so it isn't eternal. There was a time when it wasn't, and there'll be a time when it's not again. But they may be punished in there through fire and brimstone, and the pits of fire and for aeons of time, but it finally will end because hell is not eternal. And if there was an eternal hell, you'd have to have an eternal life to live in eternal hell. And if it was eternal, it always was, and you always was in hell, and you'll always be in hell. See, so there is no such a thing. You see, eternal is never had a beginning or an end. And there's only one form of eternal life, and that is God. Comes from the Greek word Zoe, which means God's own life. And we are born again of the Spirit of God. We become eternal with God because we have a part of His life, which makes us sons and daughters of God. Then we have eternal life, and the life that is in us, God will raise it up, raise up the body with the life at the same day. or at the last day. Excuse me. But it's the Spirit of God that's in us that raises up, because it is the Spirit of Christ that was in Christ that quickens our bodies and raises up also with Him to set in glory and reign with Him. So you see, God intended in the beginning, before the foundations of the world, before the moon, the stars, everything was created. You were in Him. He was actually thinking about you. Can you imagine that? The great God that created all things was thinking about you. And you're an expression of that thought. John 3:8, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see, which means he cannot understand the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus, see, he's the man's. They're focused on the vessel. Totally. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. All right. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So think about that. Are you any more a flesh being, or are you a spirit being? Take your choice. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now, notice that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. No longer governed by the flesh, because sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. When you get this revelation, no bullet will ever scare you, no knife, no fire, no enemy, for you are eternal. You're eternal. Notice it says something that no one looks at. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Notice Jesus is making a definitive separation between those who are just born of flesh and those who are born of the Spirit of God. This is a demarcation, which is a separation by distinct boundaries. Hebrews chapter 7, part 2. We found out that the word forever means a space of time. Do you still remember that? A space of time is forever and forever. And forever is witnessed many times in the Bible as a space of time. But eternity, and there's only one type of eternity we found, is that right? God has that eternal life alone, is that right? Only one type of eternal life. There is no such a word as eternal punishment, because if you're to be punished for eternity, you've got to have eternal life to be punished eternally. So you'd have to have eternal. And if you got eternal life, you can't be punished. You hear that? Got the Holy Ghost? No hell for you. No hell for you. No burning for you. Eternal life because you believe. Well, if you got eternal life, you can't be punished because you got eternal life. So then, if you're going to suffer in hell forever and ever, you'd have to have eternal life to do it. But you can't have it because there's no eternal hell. Now Luke 21:18. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. I guess it's just in another dimension. But it's coming back. Hallelujah. Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What is your focus? Is the next year or two here, or is it getting past and looking to the unseen, looking to what God has for us, the shout moving into the voice, moving into the trunk. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is a true God in eternal life. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 1:2. For the life was manifested. Yep. And we've seen it. Mm-hmm. And we bear witness. Yep. And we show unto you. How are you going to do that? We show unto you eternal life. How are you going to do that? You've got to have it yourself. Which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So how do you show eternal life? Through the echo of the life of Christ in you. Titus 3:7. that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the earnest expectation of eternal life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the right wiseness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. What's that? The word. See? Luke 18:18, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Notice his works. His mind's on works. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? This man looked for works to inherit eternal life and did not understand it comes by receiving what? The word of God. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Luke 10:25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Again, most people, like this lawyer who studied the law, they think it's a matter of working their way into eternal life. You can't do it. Now, the false vine, born of corruptible seed, which is a word of another age, how can we say that? Because the seed for another season becomes corruptible when it sets and rots. Many times when you buy seed, it goes bad after a while unless you keep it perfectly in the right temperature and humidity control. I don't know how many times over the years my wife will buy onions and other seeds to plant, and then after planting she put the extra in the basement, and a year later, instead of having seed to plant from the leftovers, I look into the bag and all those seeds are empty and just hulls and shells, no substance, just crumbly husks. Why? It's not the right environment for it. Not in a basement. You got to keep it humidity controlled if you want to keep it. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, one of another season, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Psalm 1:6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of the Lord, the Torah, the teaching of the Father, and in his law, in his Torah, in the teaching of the Father doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. See, there's your false vine. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, the Lord yada. The Lord watches over with an active participation the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That word is abad. They are left to themselves. Because why? There is a way which seems right to a man, but the way thereof is the way of death. Man will always take the way that seems right, and it's the way of death. You see, you've got to take God's word. For question and answer is about the wicked shall be punished for their sins according to the deeds that's done in the body, and then will become completely and totally annihilated. Now, just remember that. You that's taking down notes, remember that. You put me on record of that, that there is only one form of eternal life, and we're seeking for that, and God alone has eternal life. There's no two types of eternal life. One eternal life, and that's all that lives. And remember, put this on your note too. Everything that has been made, that had a beginning, has an end. Everything that had a beginning has an end. And only that had no beginning has no end. And there's only one thing that never had a beginning, and that was God. And that's the only way that you could rise in the resurrection, is to have that eternal life in you. See, that's the only way that you can ever come back, is something that had no beginning. And when you have received the Holy Spirit, in you dwells a life that never did start and never can end. That's why it's justified, because it never did do those things that you might have done in the flesh. But it didn't. And that's what's going to receive the new body. And you possess that life in you. Then you've got eternal life and are sons and daughters of God. And you can no more die than God can die, because you are a part of God. For Psalm 9:3, when my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish,
at thy presence. Notice, we're talking about the temporary life. Psalm 37:20, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. Psalm 68:2, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away, as wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them? Think ye that they were the sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall also likewise perish. From leadership, Brother Rance says, which is also called Follow Me, he said, now, just religion won't work. See, this one young ruler, he said, good master, now remember, before I say it, he had been taught to walk, right? He had a good education, he'd been taught business and was rich and was a ruler and had a religion. But he was confronted with another problem, and it confronts all of us, eternal life. Religion doesn't give us eternal life. Religious is a covering, but it don't give us eternal life. In closing, in Acts 13:41, behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man, a prophet, declare it unto you. And 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer echoes eternal life abiding in him. So you see the difference. Eternal life, temporary life. All right. Focused on the promise, focused on self, focused on the things that you see that are present. As for me and my house, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, he said, choose you this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Love you all. And I'm looking forward to the day when we'll all be close to the same age, between 16 and 20. Children be same age, but you know what? We'll never change from that look. What a glorious time. I'm just looking forward to it. Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we love you, Lord. We know that your word is true, and at your parousia, you created the world. At your parousia, you will destroy the world and bring it back again, and then we will continually live. Once we live in the new earth, new heaven, we'll continually live in your parousia presence for all eternity. And so we look forward to it, Father. We're looking forward to the change of the body. And we ask you, Father, to grant it to us very soon, we ask. We're pleading. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine.